Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Profiles in Corruption Abuse of Power by America's Progressive Elite is a political nonfiction expose by Peter Schweizer, published in 2020, written in an investigative, heavily documented style. The book examines the private finances, family ties, and outside business relationships of several prominent progressive politicians. Schweizer's purpose is to challenge the public image of reform-minded leaders by arguing that some have benefited personally or indirectly from the power they claim to regulate. The book relies on a follow-the-money approach, drawing on public records, financial disclosures, contracts, and other documentary evidence to build its case. It is aimed at readers interested in political accountability, campaign ethics, and the often blurry boundary between public service and private gain. As a work of partisan investigative criticism, it is less a balanced survey of corruption in American politics than a targeted argument about hypocrisy, influence, and the incentives created by concentrated power. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Schweizer's follow-the-money method drives the book's entire structure. The book is organized around documentary investigation rather than broad theory, which is one of its defining features. Schweizer traces money flows, consulting relationships, government contracts, donations, and family business, links to argue that influence often produces hidden personal benefit. This method matters because it gives the book its argumentative force. The reader is not asked to accept a general impression of corruption, but to move through specific records and transactions. In practice, that means the book repeatedly connects public rhetoric with private financial arrangements and asks whether the two align. The approach is effective for readers who value evidence-based political criticism, especially when it includes paper trails and disclosure forms. At the same time, the method also shapes the tone of the book, making it accusatory and prosecutorial rather than interpretive or exploratory. The focus is not on policy disagreement alone, but on the suggestion that access to power can be converted into advantage for one's relatives, allies, or network. Secondly, the book argues that progressive branding can coexist with private enrichment. A central idea in the book is the tension between a politician's public identity and the financial or institutional benefits that may accumulate around them. Schweizer targets figures who present themselves as critics of corporate greed, inequality, or influence peddling, then examines whether their own careers reflect similar patterns of advantage seeking. This is not merely a claim about hypocrisy in a moral sense. It is about how political branding can shield people from scrutiny. When leaders speak in the language of reform, voters may assume their behavior is automatically cleaner than that of their opponents. The book challenges that assumption by suggesting that ideology does not prevent self-interest, and may sometimes make it harder to notice. That argument gives the book its polemical edge, because it treats progressive rhetoric as part of the problem, rather than a guarantee of integrity. Readers are pushed to separate stated values from actual conduct, and to evaluate public servants by the incentives surrounding their careers, not just by their messaging. Thirdly, family networks and personal connections are treated as channels of influence. Another recurring theme is the role of relatives, spouses, children, former colleagues, and business associates in extending a politician's reach. Schweizer's cases often examine not just the office holder, but the ecosystem around that person, where influence may be translated into hiring opportunities, consulting work, access, or favorable treatment. This matters because modern political corruption is rarely presented in a simple exchange of cash for favors. It more often appears as a network of indirect benefits, where family members and associates can capitalize on proximity to power without the office holder appearing to receive a direct payment. The book uses that framework to show how public office can create economic opportunities for an entire orbit of connected people. Whether one accepts every allegation or not, the underlying analytical point is clear corruption can be structural and relational, not only transactional. That makes the book especially attentive to patronage-like behavior, even when it is described in technically legal terms. Fourthly, the book treats selective enforcement and double standards as part of political corruption. Profiles in Corruption does not limit itself to money in the narrow sense. It also extends the corruption lens to questions of justice, regulation, and the uneven application of standards. In this view, corruption includes situations where powerful figures or their allies are treated differently from ordinary citizens, whether through softer scrutiny, selective prosecution, or institutional hesitation. That argument broadens the book's scope because it presents fairness itself as a public resource that can be distorted by power. The relevance is important if the law is applied unevenly, then the formal appearance of legality can hide substantive inequality. Schweizer uses this idea to suggest that corruption is not always visible in a single bribery scheme. It can also be embedded in the way officials exercise discretion, protect allies, or create exceptions for people within their networks. This helps explain why the book is as much about institutional culture as about individual conduct. Its deeper claim is that the abuse of power often survives by wearing the language of procedure and legitimacy. Lastly, the book's strongest appeal and biggest limitation come from its partisan focus. The book stands out because it is direct, heavily footnoted, and designed to provoke scrutiny of elite political behavior. Readers who want a hard-charging investigative critique of democratic and progressive figures will find a clear thesis and a wealth of referenced material. Its practical value lies in sharpening skepticism toward polished political narratives and reminding readers to inspect campaign claims, donor relationships, and family entanglements more carefully. At the same time, the book's narrow target selection is also its main limitation by concentrating on progressive politicians. It invites criticism that the case selection is politically motivated and incomplete, especially since corruption is not exclusive to one ideological camp. That tension is important to understanding the book's place in the genre. It is best read not as a comprehensive map of American corruption, but as a forceful partisan exposé that uses selected examples to make a wider point about power and self-dealing. For readers, that means the book is most useful as a stimulus for critical thinking, not as a neutral final verdict on political ethics. In conclusion, Profiles in Corruption is best suited for readers interested in political accountability, investigative nonfiction, campaign ethics, and the mechanics of influence in modern American government. It offers intellectual value to anyone who wants to study how public reputations can diverge from private incentives, and how family ties, consulting arrangements, and institutional discretion can complicate claims of reform. The book is also useful for readers who want to understand a distinctly combative form of political exposé, one built from records, disclosures, and inference rather than from detached analysis. What makes it stand out in its genre is not only its level of documentation, but its narrow and explicit thesis that progressive branding can conceal the same kinds of power-seeking behavior often condemned in others. That makes the book sharper than a general corruption survey, though also more partisan and selective. Readers looking for a balanced overview of corruption across the political spectrum may find its scope limited, but readers seeking a detailed, argument-driven case study of elite hypocrisy will find it substantial, provocative, and methodically constructed. It is most valuable as a tool for skepticism, comparison, and further inquiry.